This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
This is the Religious Liberty Report. We're a Christian legal ministry, and we look into advocating freedom of conscience, religious liberties in government, in the marketplace, the public square. And we're working to keep America open to God's truth. We always say this on the report, and I'll say it again. The church is called to be the moral and the cultural conscience of our communities, our nation. Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, where the idea is not necessarily to win the debate, but to win the person, to win their heart, their mind, their soul. And that's why we hope to educate ourselves, equip ourselves on sharing our faith in a gracious way, to win hearts, minds, and souls. Very important is to approach the conversation from a biblical worldview, most important, fundamental. And that's where we hope to be of service to you. The Religious Liberty Report, trying to sort out answers to the four great questions of life. Why am I here? Who am I? Where did I come from and where am I going? Our worldview, it involves, obviously, the world around us, but mostly it involves ourselves, how we deal with others, our families, our friends, how our faith intersects with others, our families, our friends, even at school or in our workplace. Our faith covers every area of our lives. And then you would have government and faith. Faith in our government, faith in our marketplace. And that's where faith intersects with law. That's where faith may become an issue in labor law, family law, criminal law, civil law, corporate or immigration law. Our faith can influence a situation at work. Our faith can influence a family situation, a criminal situation, or even dispute, civil disputes, lawsuits, litigation, corporate affairs, corporate governance. All this intersects with faith, if you're a believer, that is. We have interesting content in this report this last week of March 2026. We'll be talking about biblical mindset and how faith comes by hearing. We'll talk about cognitive reframing or as we read in Romans 12, renewing our minds. We'll also cover how Jesus dealt with feelings, emotions, and mental strength. We'll talk about flexibility in our thinking, learning to be flexible. We'll cover some news items, the Olympics, social media litigation. This is a Christian legal ministry, after all, so we cover some of the legal developments. This was a big week with social media, and there's a case we'll be discussing. And, of course, the second Persian Gulf War, the U.S.-Iran War. We'll talk about views on the situation in the Middle East. What's going on with this war? What are we to make of this war? That will be the Religious Liberty Report for this week. And that's basically what we try to do here on the report. Talk about fundamental and basic Christian truths in a culture that's challenging our faith. disagreeing with our Christian message. And we work to remain faithful to our mission in this culture. We know that true freedom is different, a freedom to live as God intended us to live. We're to be image bearers, restoring God's good creation through government, through communities, families, schools, engagement. Page 1 of the report. I found this. Your brain learns patterns through hearing. Repeated sounds shape our thoughts. And these repeated sounds can become automatic thoughts. And that's why God's word acts as a calming signal agent to the mind, to the heart, and the soul. It's because faith comes by hearing. And hearing are patterns that enter our minds through our ears. And that's why faith comes by hearing. We read this in Scripture, Romans 10:17. Most people never realize that their brain is literally, physically being reconfigured by sounds, voices, stories that they allow into their mind. The mind is more like a sophisticated recording device that never stops recording. Our minds are always learning and training based on repetition and exposure. And we live in a world that is loud. Incredibly loud. What we hear repeatedly become our thoughts. You don't have to even try to think them. They just show up. Even uninvited. As if they had their own key to your mind. That is why the Bible commands us to guard our hearts. I believe this has a lot to do with the ears. What we listen to, the content that we feed our minds. So faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And we find this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. An easy verse to memorize. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, of Christ. And there's a sequence there. It says, faith comes through hearing the Word. It doesn't come through working or exhausting yourself. It's just by hearing it. It says, faith comes by hearing. And in the ancient world, people understood the power of the spoken word in ways that maybe we don't today. In a world where most people couldn't read, they didn't have their own Bibles to read from, even if they could. Their entire, almost entire relationship with God's word was through hearing it, through their ears. Faith comes by hearing. God designed our minds to be receptors of sorts, receiving signals. It's like a truth, an engineering, architectural, divine truth about the human mind, the human body, the human spirit. What you listen to, when you listen to the Word of God, you're opening the window of your soul to the Creator of the universe, to your Creator and mine. So I read this. This provides us great hope of how the gospel applies to our biology. Calm input builds calm thinking. When you intentionally expose your ears to the Word of God, to the promises that He has for you, that He will never leave you, and that His peace passes all understanding, you're going to be giving your brain the material to build a new mental house, a new physical structure in your mind. By hearing the word of God, you are weakening the old pathways. The ones that say, I'm all alone. Everything is a crisis. No. And then you begin strengthening the new pathways that God is my refuge. God is my strength. This is why repetition is so vital. Science is showing us what we already knew in the Bible, that the brain responds to different messages, frequencies, types of information in different ways, and that God's Word, Scripture, carries a unique combination of repetition, of deep meaning, and most importantly, safety. Safety in God's promises. Think about the safety signals sent to your brain, your mind. And it ended with this paragraph. Your mind is not a fixed, unchangeable thing. It is not a prison of your past experiences or your genetic predispositions. It is a garden. Like any garden, it grows based on what is poured into it and what is planted within it. Listening is a form of training, of cultivating a garden. It's a way of watering the soil of our souls. Peace and faith doesn't have to come and go. It can be a learned response. The result of a mind that has been taught day by day through hearing and hearing and rehearing that we are safe in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Our minds can be renewed. Our thoughts can be transformed. We can reprogram our minds with the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, last week of March 2026, talking about renewing our minds. Psychologists might call it cognitive reframing, but I like to say renewing our minds. Page 2 of the report, I found this. There's only one thing in the universe over which you have complete control. That is your thoughts. If you wish to change the conditions of your life, you have to change your thoughts. Thoughts that precede your conditions. You have to change what's going on in your mind. Whatever you believe will be your reality. Henry Ford famously said, if you believe you can do something and you believe that you cannot, you're right each time. Most of our limitations exist in our minds. If we begin to change how and what we believe, we can begin to change our reality. Renewing our minds on the Religious Liberty Report. Turning the page, page 3. Jesus focused on the spirit, but also on the mind. Jesus made time to rest. We read in several places in the New Testament where he regularly stepped away from crowds to be alone. It's almost remarkable that the gospel writers would point this out. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It literally reads, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Or the English Standard Version says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, highlighting Jesus, his regular habit of escaping the crowds, looking for quiet time, solitary time, in prayer with God. It's not what he was fleeing, it's more where he was going, to where he was headed when he withdrew. He withdrew to pray. It's not that Jesus wanted to isolate himself. It's that he needed to be in prayer with God. And this sometimes requires being alone with God. And we see this in the Gospels, a habit of withdrawing, Jesus often frequently stepping away to find seclusion. Jesus also had emotions. Quite obviously, he had emotions. And when things weren't right, he didn't pretend that things were right. Jesus cried, he grieved, he got angry, he told his friends when he felt overwhelmed even. We read in Mark 14:34, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Mark 14:34. Jesus telling his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." There's a Bible study in there for sure. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before his arrest, a raw human moment, admitting intense emotional, spiritual weight that he was carrying. One writer put it this way: by naming what was going on inside, Jesus created space for God and the people around him to offer their presence, their empathy, and support. You have to think, why else would he tell his disciples if it wasn't, at least in part, seeking their support? In fact, he goes on to say, "Stay here and keep watch." Clear evidence that he was sharing himself, seeking support. Mark 14:34. This shows Jesus' human side, allowing others to support him. Yes, he was the Son of God. He was divine, God made man. But he didn't do things alone. Jesus often chose community. Though he did seek solitude for prayer, he did also, quite often, seek community, especially when things were hard. In the garden, he asked his closest friends to stay with him, pray with him, be near him. Jesus allowing others to support him, to come alongside. Even though he was and is God, he could have definitely handled it on his own, but he chose, he condescended to allow others to support him, stand alongside him. Jesus didn't ignore signals of stress or fatigue. When he was tired, he rested. When he was hungry, he ate. And as we just saw, when he needed a break, well, he took a break. Caring for our minds and bodies is caring for our soul and our spirit. Oh, and here's one that speaks to me personally. Jesus stayed grounded in truth. When Satan's lies came at him, "You're not enough, take control, prove yourself," Jesus did not spiral. Instead, he anchored himself in the truth of God's word. Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus responded, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus did not spiral with anxious thoughts. Instead, he spoke scripture to steady his soul. Here's another good one of how Jesus focused on physical and mental health. He practiced gratitude in the middle of pain. Even in moments of grief and pressure, Jesus paused to thank God. In John chapter 11, verse 41, moments before he raises Lazarus from the dead, Jesus looks upward and thanks God the Father for hearing his prayer. Jesus, even in moments of grief, pressure, thanking, pausing and thanking God. Not waiting for the situation to improve, he acknowledged the Father's goodness before the blessing came. Jesus practicing gratitude in the middle of pain, and also practicing joy in the middle of heavy and crowded ministry, very demanding, serious conversations, life, death, eternity, heaven, hell. Jesus made space for lightness, laughter, connection, He welcomed children. He enjoyed meals. He went to weddings. He noticed beauty. Joy wasn't a distraction from his mission. It was a vital part of his emotional well-being. Jesus shows us that making space for delight, for joy, is part of living a mentally healthy life. Jesus, placing a premium, an emphasis on physical and mental health. Jesus didn't ignore mental health. Instead, he made space for rest. He named his emotions, invited support, and stayed. Most importantly, he stayed connected to God. Let's follow his example, shall we? Sometimes what we need most isn't more answers. It's a reminder that God is with us in the middle of what we don't understand. And that's enough to keep us going. We don't have to understand everything, control everything. For some of us, understanding is just controlling. We want to control. Sometimes understanding isn't the most important thing. What's more important is knowing that God is still with us in the middle of what we don't understand. And that is enough to keep us going. Here's another. Renewing your mind. Research showing that second-guessing yourself, even contradicting yourself, can actually make you smarter. Research linking cognitive flexibility with stronger problem-solving, better learning, and greater creativity. Cognitive flexibility. I guess that's a fancy way for saying changing your mind on something. Reconsidering. Admitting you were wrong, maybe. The ability to examine your own thinking. I think they call it meta-thinking. To think about what you're thinking. Even possibly adjust it, adapt what you're thinking when new information appears. Research showing that this is one of the clearest signs of a sharp mind. Cognitive flexibility. Being able to second guess yourself or even contradict yourself or better yet, correct yourself. Adjust, adapt when new information appears. Turning the page on the report, last week of March 2026, Olympic Committee bars transgender athletes from women's events at the Olympics. The president of the IOC, International Olympic Committee, barring transgender athletes from competing in the women's category of the Olympics, saying that all participants in those events must undergo genetic testing, a new policy in this upcoming Olympics. Eligibility to be determined by a one-time gene test, according to the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, a test already being used in track and field, requiring screening via genetic testing. Social media lawsuit. This last week we had a big landmark lawsuit sending shockwaves through the tech industry, Silicon Valley, and affecting such giants as Meta, Facebook, YouTube, where a jury found Meta, Facebook, and YouTube negligent in facilitating social media addiction. A big tech case, possibly reshaping the landscape, the tech landscape, the regulatory landscape, the legal landscape. They're calling it a bellwether case. A 20-year-old woman, identified as KJM, accusing social media companies of creating products that are as addictive as cigarettes or casinos. Meta and YouTube, citing Section 230 of the law, which seeks to absolve platforms online from the content that they stream. For example, if you're YouTube, you're not responsible for the content of the videos that are on YouTube because you're just providing a platform. They compare it to the telephone company. They just provide a platform. Others say that no, there's more to it. And this lawsuit ruled in favor of it, there being more to it. big questions here for tech, big questions for society. We'll be covering this on the report in the coming days, weeks, and months. Turning to the U.S.-Iran war. And no one wants war. War is abhorrent, really. It's hard to support war, in theory or even in practice. There's nothing abstract about the human cost, about blood being spilt. There's nothing worth celebrating in war. But war is a reality. And with the ongoing conflict in Iran, it's something that we can't ignore. James Madison wrote in his Political Observations in 1795, "Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded." But I found this: the vulnerable underbelly of the United States since Vietnam, the Vietnam War, foes of the United States have understood that America has a fundamental vulnerability, politically at least, and that is they don't go toe-to-toe with the U.S. They know that the U.S. is greatly superior militarily, so they try and delay the war, lengthen it, to play the political side, knowing that the American public has low tolerance for what they call endless wars. Another Vietnam, or what happened in Iraq, endless wars, or Afghanistan. The words quagmire, extended endless wars, are in the news cycle. But there's another argument, that Desert Storm in 1991 took the coalition lost 75 aircraft, 42 of them in combat. And the U.S. and land campaign lasted 6 weeks. Today, it's remembered as a lightning-fast war, and that the current conflict has been raging for 4 weeks. That if you compare the war with Iran to past wars, rather than past military fiascos like Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, you might get a different view of the current state of affairs in the Middle East. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report this last week of March 2026. I'll leave you with this verse, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We demolish and destroy arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Reminding us that we demolish, destroy arguments, pretenses, but not people. Paul, the Apostle Paul, describing spiritual warfare. We fight arguments, pretenses, falsehoods, false philosophies, proud arguments, arguments that oppose the true knowledge of God. And he reminds us, the Apostle Paul, to take our thoughts captive, to be vigilant over our minds. Capture negative, sinful, or deceitful thoughts before they enter our hearts. The ultimate goal, brothers and sisters, is to bring every mental thought into alignment with Christ. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.